Hey everybody, welcome to another episode of the Smart Faith Podcast, coming to you from the middle of nowhere in West Texas. My name is Joe Sisk, and you can email me at smartfaithpodcast@yahoo.com. Definitely check out revelationsradionetwork.com for all your podcast needs. We got a dire situation going on down here in Texas. We have this weird liquid falling out of the sky from these white puffy things. I have no idea what's going on. I have no idea what the deal is. I'm scared for my life. We are getting rain here, folks. Oh, my Lord. Praise the Lord. It is raining in Texas. We thought the day would never come. We're down here. We're sitting down here. Our wells are drying up. Our tanks are drying up. Our livestock is having a hard time getting water. I mean, and getting food, too, because when there's no water, nothing grows. You know, the grass don't grow. So we're having trouble feeding our cattle and our livestock and everything, too. And our personal wells at our homes are going dry. And even the water sources for our cities are going dry. So we're really hurting down here when it comes to water. And just want to really heap praises on the Lord that this Resurrection Sunday of 2014, He decides to open the heavens in my little spot of Texas and pour down the water. You know, it's just a wonderful blessing and just kind of an awesome thing, and just really want to praise Him for that, and praise Him for the several days of rain we're looking to be getting here. Comes through or not, praises to Him anyway, but we're looking to have some rain for several days here, so definitely a praiseworthy issue. Thank you for all the prayers. I know a lot of you guys have been praying for the drought situations that's been happening down here in the United States, and especially in the southern United States. And we appreciate it. We get in the prayers, and we're getting the rain finally to answer those prayers, and we're praising God for it all the way to the bank, all the way home. We're praising God about it because this is a wonderful thing. I even had a situation in church today, and you can believe in chance, you can believe in whatever you want, but it just made the hair in the back of my neck rise up a little bit, because this wonderful woman at our church was doing a special song. And she was singing this song with these three teenage boys, and they were doing this program for the church. And as soon as they ended their song, this big old roll of thunder just came rolling through, and it was the first thunder we'd heard all morning inside the church. Now, it may have been thundering, you know, prior to that, but you couldn't really hear it inside the insulated church. But this big old peal of thunder just comes smacking through right as they end their song, and it's like, you know, the good Lord's applauding for y'all too, that y'all lifting your spirit, you're lifting your voices and your spirits up in song to Him, and you know, He's giving you a hand too. It's just awesome, you know. Like I said, you can believe in chance, you can believe in coincidence all you want, but you know, to me, every now and then, there's just little things that make you think about God and make you think about the glory of His creation and the wonders of His of His love and everything, and it just turns you around and makes you go, wow, you know, I just wonderful blessing. And today we have Resurrection Sunday, or Easter Sunday, as it's commonly referred to. As if you don't speak Latin, as my preacher says, it's the wonderful miracle of Jesus Christ rising from the dead to have the empty tomb, to have, you know, He is risen, that He's no longer there, that He has paid the punishment for sin, and being God in the flesh, being God the Son, has proven death to be without sting, and to proven sin to be defeated through His resurrection on this, that we're celebrating on this day. Now, every day is a good day to celebrate Jesus and to honor Him for the empty tomb, and honor God the Father for the miracle work through Jesus Christ. And it's, you know, it's a great day to do it every day, but we especially want to take this day and say, you know, wow, it's awesome, it's great, we love it, you know, we praise God for it, it's everything to us, and really mean it, and pass around the plate, and take some communion, and just do it upright, just get down and do some praising to God to the fullest, to everything you got, you know. And the system works. I'm going to talk a little bit. I was going to do a whole episode about flawed Christianity and all that, and the attacks that are being made against Christianity from different sectors and all that. I don't want to do that today. I want to go ahead and just take this, be a praise episode, to say, you know, praise God for the manner in which He has given us salvation through Jesus Christ, His Son, and just really look at that kind of whole situation here. We want to see that Jesus, it is said by some that Jesus cannot have died for us for the sins of the world because of Deuteronomy 24:16. I want to take this part of my discussion and kind of expound upon it today as part of our episode, as our kind of our whole kind of study today, because this is something that I think, like I said, is really resonating in my soul today, and I just wanted to talk about it a little bit here. The fathers shall not be put to death for the children, neither shall the children be put to death for the fathers. Every man shall be put to death for his own sin, is what Deuteronomy 24:16 says. Now it says that this verse means that clearly a man can only be put to death for his own wrongdoings, his own crimes, his own sins, and not for the sins of others. Now God's system is a just system, and therefore he who is guilty will suffer for his sins. This is reasonable, and the only way to carry out true justice, which of course is the only way a loving God and a just God would operate. You know, God is just. God is perfectly just, which is to say he's perfectly fair. And the only fair way to go about this business is for us to each be punished for, the sins that we each do. You know, we can't be punished for somebody else's sins. That's not fair. It's not fair for us to receive punishment for, you know, our neighbor's sins. It's not fair for me to be punished for your sin, or you to be punished for mine. You know, we need to each take our own sin and the punishment that is due it ourselves. That's only fair. All right, I'm with you on this situation. But what happens when we consider the nature of humanity? I hate to tell you this, but if you're old enough to hear my words and follow my meanings, you're old enough to have sinned a whole bunch of times in your life. If we are to be punished according to our sins, then we are all, every last one of us, absolutely guilty of sins against God, and we all deserve punishment for those sins. Not one of us deserves to walk free if we are to pay for our sins in a system that is perfectly just as God would require. Some of us may have more sins piled up than others, but we've all messed up and broken and become broken at some point in our lives. All right, there is none that are righteous, no, not one. Everyone has lied or cheated or stolen or have injured others or have broken the law of the land or a law of God at some point in their lives. We're all in the bad way, folks. And we all, in the system that considers that is perfectly just and considers justice to be executed perfectly, we're in trouble because we're all sinners. And I deserve what I have coming to me, too, because of my disobedience to God. But God is more than perfectly just. We have more to God than this. God is not just a single attribute. He's also perfectly merciful. Psalms 13:5 sings of his mercy. But I have trusted in thy mercy. My heart shall rejoice in thy salvation. We can trust in God's mercy. Another part where Psalms sings about God's mercy is 36 verse 5. Thy mercy, O Lord, is in the heavens, and thy faithfulness reaches unto the clouds. So God is merciful and faithful. But how can we have justice and mercy at the same time? Now that's a problem. Now you think about it. Mercy and justice are two separate, kind of mutually exclusive kind of theories here. Justice means you get, you know, fair punishment for what you've done. You get what's right and what's fair, which is for you to pay for your crimes, me to pay for mine. That's justice, okay, to see that everyone is punished for what they've done wrong. Mercy is something else. Mercy is to where you are forgiven of your crimes. Even though you deserve punishment, you're forgiven of it. So how can we have justice, which requires punishment of the sinner, and mercy, which requires the forgiveness of the sinner? Okay, in the Old Testament, there's a system of atonement worked out to where you have mercy and you have justice. And this is worked out through animal sacrifices. In fact, it is the blood that is made for atonement for the person, as stated in Leviticus 17:11. For the life of the flesh is in the blood, and I have given it to you upon the altar to make an atonement for your souls. For it is the blood that makes an atonement for the soul. This is how the original system worked. Different animals, noted to be without blemish or defect, were sacrificed based on different sins for which atonement was sought. Okay, you had a sin, you committed a sin, you needed atonement for the sin. You went and looked up, said, okay, what have I got to sacrifice to get atonement for this sin? And they said, okay, two doves and a sheep. or what have you. And that's what you did. You took care of that. You went to the priest. They, you know, made the sacrifice, and you took care of that business and the upon the altar, and sacrificed the blood upon the altar to make an atonement for your soul. Now this system continued until Christ came along, who was the first and only human without blemish, and came to be the ultimate sacrifice, so that God's sense of justice is met and his offer of mercy is available to the world. The system will only work if Jesus is without sin. If Jesus did not live a blameless and sinless life, then clearly his punishment would only serve to pay his own debt to God. Okay, but because Jesus was sinless, we can consider his life a surplus, if you will, and because if he gets punished, it has to be for someone else, because he has nothing to be punished for. There is no getting punished for no good reason in God's system. That is not just. That is not fair for someone to get punished for no good reason. So Jesus had to take a punishment for someone. So who did he take it for? Say he took it for you. Okay, he took the punishment for you. So you are forgiven of your sins because Jesus went to the cross for you in your place. Okay, the only way he could go in your place is if he had no debt of his own to pay. You know, all his currency, his spiritual currency, is available because he has no debt. He doesn't owe God anything. Every one of us, we owe God a bill. We owe God a spiritual bill. And our spiritual currency is to pay for our sins. Okay, so we're all going to have to pay for our sins and pay up on our spiritual bill with our spiritual currency, unless we understand and accept the sacrifice of Jesus Christ. And Jesus Christ comes along and says, tell you what, I'll pay your bill for you. You know, if that's, you know, we can make an agreement here. You do what you need to do. You take care of the business I tell you to take care of. You give me obedience. You do all that. We'll work out a deal here. You know, I come to offer you salvation. I'll pay your bill. So if he had a bill of his own, then he couldn't pay our bill. If his money was tied up paying his own debt, then he couldn't pay our debt for us. So because Jesus was sinless, we can consider that, we can consider him able to pay for our part in this whole system. Now, because he sacrificed himself for you, okay, now you combine that with his nature as God the Son, God on earth, God in the flesh, and that's able to multiply that substitution so that it can count for me as well. So not only can he, you know, pay your spiritual bill, you know, offer atonement to you for your sins, but he can also offer atonement to me for my sins, because he is God and is able to multiply that sacrifice by everyone in the world. Okay, so he is sinless, so he has no sin debt to pay of his own, and is able to pay ours, and because of his nature, he's able to pay everybody's. He's able to substitute himself for anyone that comes along and accepts him. Okay. Blood was shed for atonement in the Old Testament. Blood is shed for atonement in the New Testament. The insufficiency of rams and doves was replaced by the all-sufficient and holy cleansing blood of Jesus Christ. So one person on earth that is punished for sin that did not deserve it, to all to save those who really do deserve it. And this system is a logical extension of what God ordained from the very beginning. It is what God wanted from the whole system. He set it up in the first place to work like that, and now he's moved through the logical extension of that system. He set it up with animal sacrifices in the Old Testament, and he moved it up through the ultimate human sacrifice in the New Testament. You know, he took care of business with blood back in the old days. He took care of business with blood in the new days. It's all the same thing. It's just multiplied by the fact that Jesus Christ came to earth as a human, lived without sin, and died and was resurrected as God the Son and God in the flesh, and paid for that sin debt that we all owe. So we have the all-sufficient and all-sustaining blood of Christ to give us salvation and watch us clean, you know, absolutely clean of our sins. You know, and that is the way the system works. And that's the way the system was always intended to work, and that's how the system started working in the beginning. So we have it all set up. There's nothing that's out of place. There's nothing that doesn't make sense. So, you know, how can we question that system whenever it's what God was leaning from you know, leaning towards from the very beginning. He was leading us right into this whole system from the top. So we have, you know, we have the system going and set up for us, and it's beautiful and wonderful, and, you know, I praise God for it every day. Excuse me, but I definitely praise Him for it today, especially because of the wonderful, beautiful world in which I live. You know, everything that I have, that is just, I give over to God. I offer all of it to God. He is my everything, and I am nothing without Him. He is the vine, I am the branches. For without Him, I can do nothing. And I just want to praise God and lift my voice up today in honor of Him, and Him and offer that all y'all do the same. You know, take a moment to say a little prayer. Tell God, thank you. Thank you for everything. Everything in our lives. The whole kit and caboodle, as they say, is all thanks to God. And it's all because of God, and we all need to give glory to God for it. He has given to us, now let's give back to Him. All right, now I know this is a little short stub, kind of an episode, but I just wanted to say a little praise for God and give a little love and glory to the Lord Jesus Christ, and, you know, honor Him on this Resurrection Day, and just, you know, get this out for y'all guys to hear and praise with me and sing in your heart with me as I go forward, you know, in this day, praising Jesus Christ. So, next time we're going to do a whole episode. We're going to do a whole, I think we're going to do Flawed Christianity, I believe. I'm thinking that's what I'm going to do. You know, I could always change my mind. I've been known to do that a bunch of times, say I'm going to do one thing and do something completely, totally different. But I think that's what we're going to do. I'm sorry about that. Didn't mean to beep. It's middle of the afternoon. My little watch beeped at me. So, but anyway, we're going to do, I think, Flawed Christianity next. Talk about some criticisms fielded in Christianity from the angle of Judaism, which is an interesting topic because, you know, there's a lot of confusion, I think, about Judaism, Judaistic views, Jewish views, the place of Israel in end time prophecy, the place of Israel in our modern world, just, you know, it's a whole lot of stuff about it. And Christians just have a lot of, I think, misunderstandings about Judaism, and I think Judaism has a lot of misunderstandings about Christianity. And I want to address some of those issues next time, hopefully, or the time after next, depending on how we do it. You know, like I say, sometimes I'll pull a new topic just out of the hat. So, anyway, I love you guys. I want to say happy Resurrection Day, happy Easter, if you want to use that term, whichever one you want to roll with, I'm down. I love you guys, and I just want to, you know, sing my praises and, you know, offer you guys to join up and say, you know, praise the Lord. Praise the Lord for all the glory, and give Him all the glory, I mean, for everything that we have and everything that we are. And until next time, my friends, God bless.